So today we're going to talk about the glory, which is the oil of God, but the multiplication of it. How many would say we want that to multiply? We want to understand, what do we need to do? Is there something we can do to multiply that? Yes, there is. There's something that we can do to multiply the outpouring of God's glory that we see in our lives. There is something we can do. There's also something we can do to shut it down. So we're going to talk about that here today. Amen. So the oil produced in your life is the supply of His glory flowing through you. It is the supply of His glory flowing through you, and it will never run dry as long as you stay ready to pour out. The answer lies in what I just stated. We're gonna go to a story here in a moment to even prove it, but the answer is in what I just said, as long as you continue to pour out. Because we don't go by our feelings. The glory doesn't just only pour out when you feel the glory. In other words, the power of God shouldn't only be flowing when I feel so strengthened by God, I can feel the anointing. That's great. Sometimes you don't feel the anointing, but you can still tap into the glory and you can still pour out. And when you do so, you start to see the multiplication happening because you recognize this is an available power source that has been given unto believers, but not many walk in it. But we're going to walk in it more and more, right? So God's anointing, symbolized by oil, we know that, symbolized by fire, we symbolize many things, but today I want to talk about the oil. God's anointing, symbolized by oil, leads to an increased manifestation of His glory. Let's turn to 2 Kings in chapter 4. Do you remember the widow's jar of oil and how it multiplied as long as she did what? Pour it out. As long as she poured it out. See, some of you already knew it. And some of you didn't know it, but that's okay, because now you're going to all know it. The anointing, the provision, the glory continued to increase as long as she poured out the oil. Are we at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1? I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.'" There was a great need. This woman found herself in a place of desperation, and many of us have been there, and that's life, right? In this life, you will have tribulation, but we're going to be of good cheer. God's overcome, right? So this great need, she was feeling a very great need at this moment in her life. That's always when God wants to pour the glory more. But people miss it because they're focusing on the great need instead of the one that fills the need. Remember I taught you, I'm going to stop for a moment. Remember I was telling you about the light and turning on the light and the fact that there is no power in darkness? She could have focused on the darkness. She could have focused and she could have given power to the darkness by focusing on the darkness. But the reality is there is no power surging through a switch that's off. So there's no power, no true power flowing in darkness. It's only the power you give it, right? She could have given power to darkness. She was in a great place of need. Her husband died. And her two sons were going to be taken from her. This was a woman that would have been distraught, correct? "The creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" I love it because he's a man of God. He's a prophet. Sometimes a prophet will speak to you a question that you need to understand. Where's your faith? Where are you at? "What shall I do? Tell me." But he's so good because in her desperation, he gave her a hint, right? He says to her, "What shall I do? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have?" And I ask you the same question. What do you have available to you? What do you have in your house? What do you have with you? What do you have within you? What has God equipped you with? Where have you seen the hand of God move? You stepped out in faith and you saw God just amazingly, miraculously, faithfully supply. What do you have? What do you have in your hand, Moses? What do you have in your house, woman of God? So he says, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, your maidservant has nothing." Don't call nothing when God's called it something supernatural, because God will use the nothings and make them something and make them something supernatural, right? So we don't dismiss anything. So he says, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, your maidservant has nothing in this house but a jar of oil. At least she knew she had a jar of oil. At least she called it out. What did she do? She spoke life into what would have seemed dead. Nothing. It was just oil. It was not just oil. An ounce of faith, a mustard seed of faith, is all he needs to produce some grand, grand miracle, right? Your maidservant has nothing in this house but a jar of oil. And then he said, go and borrow vessels from everywhere. She had a mandate right there. She was given an instruction. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. He didn't say, stop when you get to 15, stop when you get to 25. He didn't say, stop when you get to 3. He said, go and borrow vessels everywhere. That's an open invitation to what? A continual flow of oil. Go borrow vessels from everywhere. Where's your faith, even today? What is your expectation today? You see the hindrance? You see the assignment? Take your eyes off of that darkness. Keep your eyes on the Lord, on the light. And you speak what you have in your house. Speak what you have at hand. Speak what God is showing you. So he says, go borrow vessels everywhere from all of your neighbors. Empty vessels. I love the fact that he didn't say, I want you to bring vessels that are already filled. Why don't you just bring a little bit of oil? No, empty. Empty is empty. I want you to bring what seems like it's nothing. It's completely empty because God's about ready to do a miracle. He's about ready to pour into what's empty and make it full. God's full supply. God doesn't change. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Some of us need some things, don't we? We need some vessels. We need some oil. We need the continual flow of oil. But when we look around, what we see is empty. But God says, I'm about ready to fill your empty. But remember, how is that multiplied? What do we need to do? Because it's great if God just does it for us all the time. But he wants us to partner with him, correct? All glory to him. Amen. Okay, so from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. I love the fact that he was trying to fill her up with faith right there. Don't just gather a few. I've already said it everywhere. Go and gather everywhere, empty vessels, and don't just gather a few. Don't you think God is speaking to some of you right now to remove a puny, small mindset and says, I want to give you so much more. I want you to walk in this increase. I want you to understand the fullness of my supply. If God says he is the faithful supplier, then the supply never stops supplying. He doesn't stop supplying. Unbelief will short-circuit the supplying. He said everywhere, and don't just gather a few. Even right now, spiritually and prophetically, God is speaking to many of you. God is speaking, and he is showing you what you need to state. This is my empty vessel. This is the vessel. This is the nothing that God's going to make something out of. And if you already know what that is, I want you to just grab a hold of it in your spirit and say, this is it. And God's going to take this, what seems empty, what seems broken, what seems nothing, and God's going to make it multiply and give you the increase. It's not just finances. We're not just talking about people who say, oh, it's finances. It is not just finances. This is in every way. It is the faithfulness of God's supply in your life to walk as a bold, fiery one in Jesus. It is God's faithful supply so that all of your sons and daughters are going to be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace. It is God's faithful supply so that you walk in the fullness without lacking anything. Because he's faithful. And we have to have a mindset of walking in that faithfulness of God and grabbing hold of the all of God, the all. Amen? So don't just gather a few. Verse 4. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you. Thank you, Father. She's supposed to go gather the empty vessels, come in and shut the door. Why? Because God doesn't need a whole entourage of people looking at what he does in the secret place. He's going to produce a miracle, and he doesn't need a whole bunch of people clapping and cheering you on. It's done in the secret. Secret place, in the place of prayer. It's done in the secret place, in your closet, in your car. Wherever you pray, it's done in the secret place. Come in, shut the door behind you, and your sons then shall pour into all those vessels and set the full ones aside.
I want to take a moment right now and just thank you for your continued financial support to this ministry and for your faithful partnership in prayer. You know, the Lord is doing amazing things, and I am just at awe at what he is doing, how many souls are being reached for the kingdom. because of people like you that have partnered with us. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for your continued prayer and your continued support as lives are being reached for the kingdom. It's all for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back to the teaching.
You only have a little bit of oil. She could have had all kinds of questions, and she probably did. But she just did what the prophet told her to do, what the man of God told her to do. Go in. Take those vessels. Shut the door. We don't need a public display of what I'm about ready to do. I want you to know, like the back of your hand, when I move, when I show up in glory, when I turn the tables from what the devil tried to steal from you, when I'm ready to bring in the increase, you will have a testimony, and it may be something that is in secret and private, but you're then going to shout it out from the rooftops. There's something beautiful that takes place in secret. There's something beautiful that takes place when it's just you and Jesus. There's something beautiful that takes place corporately too. But I'm telling you, the intimacy, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Like you come and you, as we're corporate here, public, everyone together, but yet God's speaking to you something so special, so specific, and nobody else knows but you and him. Is that not what builds your faith in him? Isn't that what builds your intimacy with him? Isn't that something very special? It's just you and him. Even if you were in a corporate setting, it's a word he spoke to you. It's something he showed you. It's intimacy with him. This woman that was about ready to have her two sons taken from her, trusted this voice, this man of God, in something that most people would say, that's ridiculous, it's never going to work, and they disqualify themselves before they saw the miracle. She didn't do that. Don't disqualify yourself, and don't disqualify others. If she had disqualified herself, her lack of faith would have been detrimental to her two sons as well. Your faith needs to be strong, hanging on, because it's not just for you, it's for other people. Her sons would have been taken away, and if they would have been taken away, they would have been made slaves. So her faith was not only carrying her, it was carrying her sons, because there was already an assignment. There was already an assignment. It was already spoken. Creditors are coming, going to take my two sons. It was already spoken, but God. I don't care if it's already spoken. I don't care if you can see the writing on the wall, but God. We serve a but God that will move in power. He will move in signs, and he will move in wonders. But God, just listen to the voice of your Savior and do what he tells you to do, which is what she did. He says, go in the room, close the door, you and your sons. And he says, your sons then shall pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. I mean, this is a statement you have to take by faith, because there was just a little bit of oil in one jar. And he says, go and get a bunch. Don't just take a few and then start pouring and keep pouring. And by the way, put the full ones off the side. How much oil do you think is in this jar, Elisha? As much as you need. God's supply never stops. It's man's mindset that short circuits it. But God's supply does not stop. Don't short circuit it. Amen. Amen. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass that when the vessels were full, she said to her sons, to her son, bring me another vessel. Many vessels. Many vessels. I liken the vessels as us. We are like the vessels. God's oil has been poured into us. And when that one vessel was poured into the other vessels, he is the one vessel that he's poured into us. And then when we take our lives and become a fragrant sacrifice, an offering, and we're pouring out on other people, and we continue to pour out on other people, your oil will never run dry. Your anointing will continue to increase. The glory of God will continue to multiply in your life. Why? Because the source, which is the Spirit of the living God, never, ever ceases. It doesn't stop. The anointing that God pours out on us does not stop. So we're not going to stop pouring out as well. When we don't stop pouring out, we see the multiplication happening in our lives. But it's really not just for us or about us. It's for those that we are touching. It's for her sons. Her sons did not end up going into slavery. The enemy's plans were short-circuited. The tables were turned. I speak that over every one of us right now, that the enemy's plans are being short-circuited, and those tables are being overturned in the name of Jesus. And we carry the oil of the Lord, because the Spirit of God His presence, His oil has been poured into us, and we're going to be faithful to pour out everywhere we go, and the oil will never cease to stop. It'll never cease to multiply. We will see the glorious supply of our King. We will see God's increase all the time, over and over and over, and we'll see the blessing of seeing other people receiving what God did in one life, your life, your lives. In one life, one faithful life. Will you be that one faithful life that says, Lord, death is all around, that's for sure. There's been hijacked and thievery and just all kinds of stuff, all around destruction and lies and horrendous hate and all kinds of stuff. But at the same time, I will be that one vessel. I'm going to keep pouring out. I'm going to keep pouring out, but I first need to make sure I receive. The vessel she started with had the oil already. We have the oil already. The Spirit of the living God lives in us. It is His oil, and He never, ever, ever lacks in His supply. And as long as you continue to go before Him and let Him pour into you, you will never run dry, never be shortchanged. Thank you, Father. So, she says to her sons, you know, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. Then the oil ceased. There is not another vessel. When there was no more vessels, when everything was done, when there was a stop, a hard stop, that's when the oil ceased. Sometimes we have these hard stops, but they're not of God. Sometimes we have these hard stops. We make them. They're supplied in our human flesh. Not good. Sometimes we create these hard stops. I'm too tired. That's a hard stop. Can't someone else do it? That's a hard stop. They don't listen to me anyway. That's a hard stop in the flesh, isn't it? Am I speaking to anybody? We're called to pour out. We're called to receive and then pour out. We're called to walk in the realm of glory. And if you allow the Spirit of God to revive you, to strengthen you every single moment of every day, you will always have what you need. The supply of God's oil will never cease, and you will see the blessing of God. There will not be a cease, a stopping in your pouring out. You will never see the vessels run dry. You will never run dry. Amen. So it says, is there another vessel? No. It says, so the oil ceased. Then she came and she told the man of God, and he said, go. Now you've got what you need. Go. Sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. What did that tell you? Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, overflow. Uh-huh. But see, you're going to live on the rest. You're going to go and you're going to pour out. Pouring out, you're not pouring out to a place of empty. You're going to pour out, but you're going to live on the rest. Someone get the revelation right now. You're going to live on the rest. God's supply is for you as well as for whom you're giving out to. You're going to live on the rest. There's going to be such a rich treasure of joy. There's going to be such a rich treasure within you because the oil is not poured out completely. You're not running on empty, and you're certainly not running dry. You're going to live on the rest. Say, I'm going to live on the rest. God wants you to live on the rest. This is where a lot of Christians miss it. They don't live on the rest. They don't enjoy the presence of God. They forget the fact that that oil is also intimacy with you and Him. So you enjoy His overflow in your own lives. Amen. Oh, the glorious riches of what He wants us to enjoy with Him. We get to enjoy it with Him. So I'm going to live on the rest, knowing that God's going to continue to flow and pour in more, but I'm going to live on the rest. Don't forget to enjoy His presence. Don't forget to live on the rest. Glory to God. And that rest never ends, so the rest is continual. The anointing multiplies when there are vessels to pour into. Your anointing is going to multiply as you continue to pour into other vessels all around you, even when you don't feel up to it. Because it is not you, it should not be you, but the Spirit of God in you that's doing the work. And he just wants a dependent people, a surrendered people, to live and to walk and to move about and to do his will and to be completely sold out 100% that every word you speak and every move you make under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Paul understood this, and he preached Christ. He didn't preach about Christ. He preached Christ in him. He understood this principle. He lived out of the revelation that he had. If you guys remember, I already gave a message about living out of the revelation that you have already received. When you live out of the revelation that you've already received, you're living on God's continual supply. He doesn't just give you a revelation for you go, wow, that was a really great worship service and God spoke this to me and then that's it. You forget and you move on and you forget the revelation of what God gave you. He wants you to live from that revelation. And this is what Paul did. He had an encounter with the Lord and he lived the rest of his life explaining it, walking it out, talking about it, bringing in the converts, converting people, right, from pagan idolatry into the understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. He lived out of the revelation that he had. How many revelations does it take for us to live out of them? Should just take one. But God's continually supplying his revelation, word after word after word after word. There's so much revelation. You open the word and there's like boom, 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 revelation just falling off the page, right? But he wants you to live out of it. I'm going to live out of this. I'm going to eat from this revelation. I'm going to live on this. I'm going to drink from this revelation. Radical for him. Let's be radical for Jesus. Let's turn to Galatians 3. All right, so Paul understood this and he preached Christ. Not necessarily about him. I mean, he preached about him, but he preached Christ. He preached in Christ. In Christ you are. In Christ you have. In Christ. He lived out of that revelation. So in Galatians 3 and 5, it says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you. Let's stop right there. He supplies it. Breaking news. He supplies the Spirit. You don't have to try to earn it, and you certainly don't have to get enough energy for it. You don't have to just be energized enough. Okay, I gotta. No. It's supplied. Expect it, receive it. Be a good receiver. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Is the Bible the same yesterday, today, and forever? And is this word for you? Yeah. Well, did we just read that he who supplies the Spirit is going to work miracles among you? That means you're supposed to walk in miracles by the supply of the Spirit. Supernaturally, oil just increases and multiplies. Supernaturally, finances come. Supernaturally, hearts are healed. Supernaturally, relationships are restored. Supernaturally, God turns the table on the devil. It says, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Obviously, not by the works of the law, we know that, but by the hearing of faith. Why? When you come to service and you hear the word of God, your faith starts to increase. Your faith grows. And when your faith grows, you grab hold of the promises of God, every one of them. You say, they are yes and amen. They're mine today. I will not be shortchanged. They're mine today, and I'm walking in the fullness of them today. The supply of the Spirit will continually multiply in my life. When you start to become a person that's going to prophesy to yourself, and you're going to start speaking it forth, and you're proclaiming how it's going to go today. And you don't just let the devil do what he wants. You're going to proclaim. You're going to speak it out how it's going to go today. Miracles are going to follow me today. The increased multiplication of God's oil, his supply, is mine, and it's mine today. And you start speaking that in the morning, in the beginning of your day. You set the tone based on the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of you that gives you the supply. You learn how to grab hold of what's actually yours instead of just grabbing hold of what the devil tries to throw your way. We're not going to grab hold of what the devil throws our way just because he does. He throws things our way all the time. Doesn't mean we need to grab hold of it. Choose what you grab hold of. What are you going to grab hold of? Because you're not, don't grab hold of what the enemy is throwing your way. You've got the oil of the presence of God, for heaven's sakes. We've got the supply that never runs out and never stops. Why would we even turn our eyes and focus? But we do, but we have to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us not to take the bait, because God's anointing and his oil is displayed, and they go hand in hand. His glory and his oil is displayed, and they go hand in hand. And in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Do you remember that scripture? And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Do you remember that? I love that scripture. Acts 10:38. This is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, but God's anointed you too. So I'm anointed. I'm anointed. God has anointed me. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. I want you to speak that over yourself. God has anointed me. God has anointed me with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now say it like you mean it. I'm anointed. The Holy Spirit and with power. Now say it like you really mean it. I'm anointed. With the Holy Spirit and with power. One more time. I am anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Endless supply of God's power. I love it when it's obvious when somebody gets it. You go, oh, somebody is getting it more and more. Your revelation comes in layers. I keep saying that. It's like we get layer after layer. It's like, wow, it gets deeper and deeper. Just like you read the Word of God, and every time you read the Word of God, it's like the truth just becomes stronger and more solidified within you. It's like, oh, you understood things you didn't understand the time before when you read it, right? That's the same way with the revelation of God. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It's more solidified. We see more and more and more. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, with power, and he went about. He did something with what he was anointed with. He went about. He did something with what he was anointed with. We will go about. It's our job to go about. You've been anointed. Now go about. He was anointed. Now go about. You are anointed. Go about. He said he went about, and he did doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and God is with us. And we understand when there's oppression, it never comes from God. We just read it in the Word. It says that he was oppressed by the power of the devil, and when those that were oppressed by the power of the devil, Jesus was there, and Jesus took care of it. But you are there, and it is your job to take care of it as well. Because you've been anointed, the Holy Spirit I'm with. All right, in the back row. Come on in the sound booth. Woohoo! That's right. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Amen. Amen. In the overflow. Amen. So we're going to keep pouring out. We're going to keep pouring out, and we're going to keep letting the Spirit of God pour in. And when we pour out, we're going to see that supply. God's miraculous supply.